Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning.
So, first things first, how will climate change have an impact on quality coffee and taste?
Yes, we, as you said, we were commissioned by Fairtrade Australia to have a look at climate impacts on coffee. And coffee, there's two kinds of coffee. There's the Arabica, which actually is the higher quality one that we have in more traditionally in our sort of cappuccinos or whatever. But our Robusta, which is more for the dried into instant coffee blend. Arabica is in particular is grown in tropical rainforests up on slopes, and in between 18 and 21 degrees is its best conditions. And even small fluctuations in temperatures can affect quality of beans and the like. Both those temperature fluctuations and changes in rainfall have already begun to impact coffee production with pests and diseases encroaching. And so the study we've done looking at the literature worldwide shows that the current farming areas could be halved by as much as, could be halved, up to half by 2050.
Well, it's certainly worrying. And 18 to 21 degrees leaves a pretty small margin for error for our optimal climate for the coffee beans to grow. How bad is the situation at present? You said by 2050 we're expecting the major impacts. What's happened in the last couple of years in regards to coffee production that's worrying?
Look, we're already seeing impacts, and it's important to remember that coffee is mostly grown in some of the poorer developing countries in what's called the bean belt that sort of stretches from Ethiopia to Vietnam to Colombia, and in which it's mostly some 25 million coffee farmers, but most of which are small landholders. And so small changes make big differences in how they can run their business. And we've already seen impacts in varying countries. Ethiopia, with some small changes in temperatures, some changes in rainfall, are having impacts. We're already seeing stories of coffee farmers in South America, for example, are switching crops because it's just harder and harder to grow the coffee crops. One of the things the report highlights is that the pressure there might drive coffee farming to either go to more intensive forms of operation or to go upslope. And that's very challenging in those often highly populated areas where there's either forestry, conservation, or other land uses. So this could be driving further conflict in those communities.
Yeah, well, can you go a little bit further into what kind of impact this might have on coffee producers and their economy?
Yeah, well, coffee is a massive industry, as you can probably guess, but it's interesting for me to find there's 2.25 billion cups of coffee drunk every day around the world. It's a $19 billion trade, but it's a very big industry and growing, still growing some 5% a year. So there are obviously some pressure points that are going to come if we continue the decline in the area in which coffee can be grown and in quality. And it's quality as well that's one of the concerns in terms of flavour and quality that that may be impacted upon. So it's something that is worrying not only for consumers like ourselves, but also for the producers. And it's not just Fair Trade Australia, which is concerned about this. You've got the International Coffee Association, coffee companies like Starbucks and Lavazza, have been raising concerns, beginning some programs that, that try to tackle this issue, that try to assist farmers on the ground to adapt, but also we're seeing more and more focus on climate neutral or carbon neutral coffee suppliers as ways in which we can all try and begin to make a difference.
Mm. Well, certainly I find hearing about this idea of like a coffee dearth gives it a very real and tangible thing to grasp onto and what an effect of climate change. I know it's rather than something like sea levels rising, which is very hard to fathom and it's so scary, you often just sort of switch off to it. Something like coffee, not having coffee anymore, is something which is very drastic, but something which is easy to get your head around, which I know, at least for me, gives me a better image of the impacts of climate change. So, what is the Climate Institute hoping to achieve by publishing this report?
Well, look, you're right. It's one way of trying to communicate the impacts of climate change, and that even small degrees of warming actually have significant impacts in production of important products like this, let alone other staples when it comes to food. But and bringing it closer to people is something, and their day-to-day lives is something which is important. But ultimately, though, we still need action from individuals, companies and governments, and we've recently released our national agenda here for action here in Australia, which calls for a more credible emissions reduction pathway to net zero emissions, which calls for policies which build consumer, investor and business confidence in clean energy, but also which tries to integrate the costs and opportunities of climate change more into mainstream decision making. And so we need to be thinking about these things. Companies need to be thinking about these costs and opportunities in a more integrated way. So all of this is a way, partly, we're trying now to kickstart the debate again here in Australia about the need for action at all levels, government, business and individual.
Well, coffee seems like a great way. Well, the government's, of course, been very slow to adapt to sort of any kind of climate change policy. What can businesses and individuals do to try and protect their daily ritual of coffee drinking?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that individuals do ask the questions. Where's their coffee coming from? There are now certification programs out there, carbon neutral or climate neutral coffees. Coffees, talk to your barista about where it's coming from, or talk to your coffee provider, or look at the labels and rating labels in your supermarkets. Are they there carbon neutral or climate neutral? Are they assisting the smaller scale farmers? But also importantly, we've got to keep the pressure on governments and business to be lifting their game as well and set a clear pathway for zero net emissions, for actually phasing out the sources of the heat-trapping gases which are causing these problems, particularly in our electricity sector and transport sector. So pushing them on that and pushing companies to actually also be shifting their business to a cleaner pathway as well.
Right. Well, John, thanks very much for joining me to have a chat about this.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.